And in this year of faith, I've been trying to study up on the saints a little bit every day. I try to take a saint a day unless there's many pages. And I came up to St. Charles Borromeo, and there was about 10 pages there on that saint. So it took me a couple of days to get through St. Charles Borromeo. And his life was just an amazing thing. I'd really like to really read up more on his life. Give you an idea how amazing this saint was. At age 12, he was made an abbot of a monastery, which means he headed up the monastery. So you imagine this 12-year-old telling all these adult males in the monastery what to do. That's an amazing thing. And even later on that year, at 12 years old, he was given other monasteries to run. And then by the time he's 22, I don't know how many monasteries he's running, but he's made cardinal. That's just mind-blowing. 22 years old, and the guy is a cardinal in the church. And he fought for the reformation of the church, the counter-reformation. He was born right after the time of the Reformation, Martin Luther, John Calvin, and all of them who left the church and brought many minions with them. But he wanted to renew the church along with St. Teresa of Avila and many of the Jesuits, priests. Many of them were working for that. But he met with opposition. Okay, he didn't have too easy of a time. He was an amazing man, very smart, couldn't speak well. He had a speech impediment. So despite his speech impediment, he changed a lot of hearts. When we look at today and seeing what Pope Benedict is doing, you know, we look at what's going on. It's like this motu proprio thing where you can say the Mass in Latin. It's like, what's that all about? And now we got the new text of the liturgy. Well, what's that? Now we got the year of faith. All these things going on. What is Pope Benedict trying to do? He's trying to basically bring about a renewal within the church. Now, we all know this church needs a great renewal. We are in dire need of it. For too many years, RE classes has been more classes about coloring. And a lot of them, you never even hear the name of Jesus. And so we need to all renew our own lives. Bring our lives to the love of God. We need to renew the holy and sacred temple that we are. Remember when I was younger, before I came and went into the seminary, I would have to challenge myself. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if you don't want to pray, it's like, well, you don't want to pray? It's like, what does that say? You know, where am I at with God? If I don't want to spend time with him in prayer, where am I with God? If I'm too embarrassed to say grace before meals at a restaurant, where am I with God if I refuse to accept the teachings of the church, especially the tough teachings? For me, I wanted to be a man of integrity, somebody of character, right? We don't want to be like people in the gospel with the fake Pharisees where they're winding their phylacteries, wearing long robes, and look at me. What goes on in the exterior should be going on in the interior. That's the biggest struggle we have. And if we struggle with that, then we could use a renewal. We could renew our own hearts and our minds to God. And of course, the more we do that, the closer we come to him. But as it is, it's very difficult to do that. Because that means interiorly, the gig is up. I can't pretend out there. If I want to be somebody of character, I have to practice it in private as well as public. And so that's where you look at these two women of great faith. in the gospel reading and in the first reading. Here is Elijah. Here, give me some water. She's willing to do it, right? We don't know it yet, but she's preparing herself to die. There's nothing left. Okay, I'll get you some. Oh, by the way, bake me a cake. She's like, well, okay, but, you know, this is all I got. We're going to die. You know, you think of Elijah as like the nerve of that guy, right? Bossing somebody else around. But through the grace of God, things happen. What does Elijah say? He says, don't worry about it. The jug will not go empty. And she does it. Now think about this. We, in retrospect of Jesus Christ, we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he died on the cross. But both these women, they don't have Jesus dying on the cross for them yet. Even the woman in the gospel, she's talking to Jesus. He hasn't died yet. So she doesn't know the salvation that awaits her. But she still trusts, with less reason to trust than what we have. That's a wonderful thing. It shows to them, shows that they thought of God was the center of their lives. And through the miracles produced, wonderful things happened, and they were renewed anew, even in the middle of the drought. Even when they had 2 pennies left, they still gave, and they still considered God the center of their lives. You see, when we give ourselves to Jesus Christ, we benefit from it. We gain the world by losing ourselves. It's a strange thing, but it's true. We gain so much by opening up our hearts to Jesus, interior and exterior. Everything about us should be praising God. We should want to pray to God. We should thank God for everything we have. In private, in public, our friends, our pocketbook, our politics, the way we view everything in our life should be based on Jesus Christ and his ways. When we refuse to accept the ways of God, we're giving God a stiff arm, and we're keeping ourselves farther and farther away. The more we find ourselves excused from the things we do, we need to be men and women of character. Why is the world going the way it is? It's because we as Catholics have not embraced our faith the way we should. We've lost the life of the devotions, the rosary, the chaplets, the consecrations, the novenas, the heavenly saints that are always there for us. All the tools we have. Vatican II did not get rid of them, not in the least bit, but all the more wants us to participate in them so that we can have peace here on earth, not just in heaven. We have to be reminded that we're not made for here on earth, we're made for above. We're made for not human thinking, but for a godly way of thinking, for a supernatural way of thinking, for a thinking that befits a son and daughter of God. This is our glory. You are a holy and sacred temple of God. God so loved you, not only did he create you, but he died for you, and he wants to live in you, in the most intimate part of your being, your soul. And he wants to rejoice in living in that holy and sacred temple. This is what it means to renew our minds and our hearts to God. What is interior ought to come out. So that's why we start with the interior. That's why we live out our faith exterior, but interiorly first. Because without the interior, it just becomes a matter of doing things with some other ulterior motivation. We need to learn to love Jesus Christ. We need to open up our hearts to him. Let him enter. Break down those barriers. For too long, as bishops, priests, and even as laity, we've ignored the ways of Jesus Christ. And we have abandoned him. And therefore, we can't find him. But if today we allow Jesus to enter into our hearts and in our lives, he will come back. He'll come back and live in our hearts and give us the grace that we need, just as he came back to these women, to this particularly the women of Elijah, supplied what she needed to get through that drought. If you're in a spiritual drought right now, open up your hearts to our Lord Jesus. Let him fill in that jar of your heart, that holy sacred temple that you are. Let him love you. Release all these demons of doubt and despair and questions. Simply have faith in him. Learn your faith. Embrace your faith. Be active in knowing your faith. Don't just sit back. Be active in loving Jesus Christ.